Is it rude to point? We return on Culture File to our conversation with art historian Chris Paulson, who studies how art from the 60s and 70s shaped the ways we understand and use technologies like Zoom and Skype. Last time we heard about the mother of all demos, staged in San Francisco in 1968 by Douglas Engelbart, a man whose index finger is central to Paulson's thinking about telepresence. The figure that you kind of pick on, which shows up a couple of times in the book, is that, just do it now, he points towards the camera, his finger prodding towards the audience.
Yeah.
For you, that means something in particular, because it shows up again later with Vito Acconci.
For me, it becomes this kind of meme throughout early video interactions as a way of not just calling attention to the shared moment that's happening. I mean, when Engelbart's doing it, he's doing this live thing of pointing to the camera, to the live interface, to the audience on the other side of it, gesturing with this indexical shifter of making someone present, this thing that's rude in many ways, but calling us.
I'm getting freaked out by it right now.
I know, I'm doing it over Zoom at you right now. Vito Acconci uses the video camera and the video monitor to call attention to how video creates a fantasy of bidirectionality and presence, of being at an event, of being in direct communication with someone else, even when that's not true. So Acconci is making a recording doing this, but the experience of watching the video is for many people, especially in the early moments of it, really off-putting, as if someone is signaling you out, despite all of the technological impossibilities of that, that if this is a recording, it's from 1971, that video is not bi-directional in 1971 by design. And so Acconci really, in a single gesture, diagnoses all of the ambivalences about television, that we feel present to it, but it is this thing that locks us off more than anything else. And so it's pulling us in these opposite directions and causing us to have really strong reactions of identification and also maybe alienation. And he points at the screen as a thing that's mediating us and that can be changed. We use all these other signs, not just a pointing finger, but these other kind of deictic shifters in our language where we say I and you, these words that really only mean something when we're sharing a moment with someone. They don't have content or meaning outside of a shared moment of understanding and context and presence. And Acconci exploits them over and over again in his video work to make you feel implicated, that it is all about kind of those gestures, whether in language or whether in with our hands and body, that call our attention to the fact that we are sharing a moment. That moment might be a fantasy in some ways. And this happens with us all the time, things that we witness through video, we feel present at, even though we are very far away from them or even out of time with them, and confuse what we're seeing and how screens and presence is operating.
A lot of the time we talk about telepresence, and really we are talking about television.
Mm-hmm.
But some artists did try and look at those extra dimensions of how we would introduce an idea of touch into telepresence. One of the most interesting projects in that area was Data Dentata.
Yeah, and so this was a work by Ken Goldberg, a computer scientist and artist, and his collaborator David Wallace, that connected a location in California to one in New York, not with a video screen, but with a haptic mitt, where you would put your hand into this darkened tube, and there was a ball inside of it that if you squeezed it, someone on the other side who had an identical piece of equipment would feel actuators press around the outside of their hand. You could establish this presence with someone else with no other feedback, no other information than just the pressure of a machine pushing on you, indicating that someone else was there. We're not used to having just touch mediated from a distance as something that confers presence. And again, this kind of philosophical toy, this artwork, really put pressure on how, that's literally put pressure on how we were going to interact with unseen or hyper-mediated far-off others, and whether we would believe in their presence. One of the interesting bits of this story is that there was a period of time in which Wallace wasn't there, and he essentially hotwired the MIT, the data MIT, to send back the person's own signal, just to mirror it back to them with a slight delay. People still very much engaged with it as if it were another person. It passed this touch-based Turing test. And that's actually a feature of a lot of these telepresence technologies, that they have this kind of ambiguity or indeterminacy in them, even with video. And so there is this deep kind of confusion through a lot of these media about what we're seeing, and it allows us to choose whether to believe or not, to feel connected or not.
That thing that you call uncanny confusion, we assume that, you know, in our Zoom call that we've made an end run around it and we don't have any problem. I believe you're a human in another space. Whereas this is a medium that somewhere troubles us. We're not sure that the image I'm seeing here relates to anything in a world outside the screen.
Yeah, that term uncanny confusion, I use it a lot, but it's Samuel Weber's phrase, and it's so accurately describes these media and our relationships to them. And certainly, as you were just pointing out, you know, in a Zoom call or these chats, we put all that doubt aside. We're at a moment where we're doing more and more things in these mediated ways. We at once are putting more and more of our trust in it, in these technologies, and living more of our lives through them. And yet also they're being undermined. We're at a moment where kind of new epistemological, or not even new, old epistemological questions are becoming newly relevant for thinking about how it is that we put our trust in media, and how our awareness of subtle clues, whether in live video chats or in our media more broadly, are going to be really important media literacy skills for understanding the world around us, where information comes from, what it's doing, who made it, where it comes from, and how to pick up on subtle things. And of course, our desire to believe in something and our desire to trust in something is becoming apparent, that that's one of the most important factors for whether we believe something or not, whether we want to believe it.
Chris Paulson there, and her book, Here, There, Telepresence, Touch, and the Art of the Interface, is available from MIT Press.